creating rules that would be potentially morphological rules in a language, and by comparing types in a vocabulary for a certain language, and then the next step would have been like using word embeddings to support these rules, so to discriminate those rules that are actually morphological rules and others that are not. So I'm gonna talk about this first part, and then Tom will talk about the second part of the project. So the first part, we pretty much compare each word in the vocabulary, so to create pairs and to extract rules from these pairs. So the worst case scenario, of course, is horrible. But when we get to actually analytic languages, these are less of a threat. So the implementation for English is actually quite straightforward, and that's because English has only affixes of, as mostly suffixes and prefixes. So for instance, when you have a pair like cars, car and cars, you know that you can extract something like 0 to 2s and insufficient and sufficient and so on and so forth. So the initial implementation that Tom put in place was actually brute force, but actually it was was reasonably fast. So pretty much when you want to extract prefixes, you go a right to left in a parallel search, and then when you hit a mismatch, you just extract what's left, and that's going to be the prefix, and you do the opposite for the suffix. But then what we try to do is actually, okay, so this is works good for English, but then morphology doesn't stop there, and there's a set of other operations that that we have to take into consideration. And so we went and we thought about Arabic that has infixation. And infixation is way harder because you have to extract the infixes inside a certain template. And that might be kind of easier when you have a pair like Kitab or Katib. Don't speak Arabic, so don't ask, just examples from Wikipedia. But then when you get to the third row and you have Kitab and Muktab or something like that, that's going to be harder than that. And during the talk, we will say that it's actually quite easy to do that and to extend the initial implementation, which I don't believe it is. And then there's the other phenomenon of reduplication. So reduplication seems on the surface quite easy because, so for instance, in Chinese, it's just pretty much repeating a string. So by simple substring match, you think you're done. But then there's another phenomenon, which is partial reduplication, that happens when certain words actually don't repeat fully, are not repeated fully, but just a portion of it is repeated. So what I try to do is actually to try to collapse all these cases together. And the thing that I thought we can do, and this is kind of brute force, but kind of works as well, is to find the order set of longest common substrings between two words. So what I mean by that is, so we first of all migrate the problem of so when we're talking about suffixes and prefixes, instead of finding the morphological suffix of prefix, we instead find the common string between two words, and so that's what we end up with suffixes and prefixes, and we can extend this first implementation also to deal with infixes by actually looking for the set of longest common substrings. And this is quite useful when we deal with infixes. So we have something like, Kutab, I don't think is even a word, but let's say that we have two words like Kitab and Kutab. Like, we can actually extract what are the longest common substring between two words, and then we're gonna end up with KT and B. And that also works with partial duplication, because between Savani and Savavani, we can actually find common longest common substrings, Sava and Ni, and then extract what's the difference between the two strings that we're gonna take as kind of the morphological change between the two words. There is also a problem when we were doing this, because in the case of infixal languages, there's a lot of one-character matching operations, and so we don't want to allow kind of wrong rule extraction. So in the case of Kitab and Butuk, if we operate these common substring match, actually what's going to happen is that we start with the first letter in Kitab, and there's a match actually in Butuk. I don't even know if that's a word, but let's say that that's the pair that we have. And this is not reliable because we don't really want to match something that is at the beginning of the string with something at the end of the string. And so when we get to the next match, which is the second characters, if we start from zero in both words, and we see that actually the first match of the K creates a sort of crossing, we discard the first one. And that's a sort of a hack to deal with that. So it seems this extended version seems to work, and we can actually extract different strings. And it was tested on English, and it was absolutely awful because it treats English as an affixal language. But by means of actually using some handles that restricts kind of the maximum length of the common substring, we were able kind of to limit these rules. But it's extremely slow, and it's 4 times lower than the initial implementation that Tom did for prefixes and suffixes. So future work will probably kind of address ways of more efficiently extracting these common substrings, and probably can thought of any other ways of actually collapsing together all these morphological phenomena. I don't even know if there are any other morphological phenomena that we probably should consider as well. So. And for the second part of the project, I...
Hi. So I will not present the method that was already presented by Keith at Wednesday. I'll just say a few words for the implementation. So we used the work-to-vec Python GenSim module for vector representation. We have implemented the extraction of the rules, but the algorithm is quadratic, as Federic already said. And the last part was evaluating the rules, which runs in, well, in really bad way, because you have to rank every word against the all words in the vocabulary, and you need to find the closest neighbors and do this for each pair of rules. And then we tried some experiments. We tried on Czech, which had 4 gigabytes of plain text. We have generated the rules from the vocabulary, but because we started to experimenting yesterday afternoon, we didn't have enough time to evaluate the rules and get some results how it actually works. So. Yeah, but we want to continue on the project. We want to finish the experiment and improve some methods and everything. And it's open source implementation, so feel free to try it. If you have time or you're interested, you can help us with some details. And so thank you.
There's a really nice extension of word2vec. It's called Wang2vec, which is by some guy called Wang and Chris Dyer. It's different from word2vec in that sense that it concentrates a lot on syntactic features. So it takes into account that some words are closer to the word in the middle in a certain context, so they get more weight. And I've been using those embeddings in a part of SpeechTagger, and it really helps. So the more syntactic word2vec is slightly worse than the more semantic word2vec is slightly worse than the more syntactic tuned Wang2vec. So it might be that for this kind of work, a tool that goes more into syntactic tuned embeddings might be working better. Wang2vec, Wang.
Any other questions? So thank you for attention.
Thanks.